This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue the back-to-school series this afternoon. Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, talk about the beginning of the school year. How are things going so far?
It's been a good start to the school year. We really felt like this is a year we're going to get back to, hopefully back to the basics and back to normal after trying to put COVID-19 behind us and get back to what kids expect out of school. And unfortunately, that just takes a little bit of retraining and a little bit of get back into our old habits. And with all that being said, our staff is super excited to be going this year, and we're glad to have kids back in the building. And it's been a great start so far.
So you began last Monday, essentially, right?
Yep. We had 4 days last week, and it was a good start for them. It felt kind of odd coming into Labor Day weekend this weekend and already having a week under our belt, but it was really good to be able to do that and get kids back into our routines with a few changes we put in play this year, and so all those came together for a real good start.
Any kind of glitches at the front end?
Nothing really serious, nothing beyond just had a lot of new kids, so a lot of new kids trying to learn our new routines, and we changed a few things up, kind of went back to our pre-COVID routines of doing breakfast in the cafeteria for everybody as opposed to in the individual buildings, and so a few changes in where our bus were dropping people and where parents were dropping off, but for the most part, it's went really smooth, and everybody's got a smile on their face.
I know you can't really tell until you're a couple more weeks in, but what's enrollment looking like compared to last year?
I'd say we are definitely up, especially at our elementary school. Our elementary school is right around 230 right now. Our high school pulled another 25-ish new kids in there. We didn't lose too many, so our high school is around 215, and middle school is hanging right around 90. So our high school and elementary school are both up. A lot of we've getting a lot of kids that have spent some time homeschooling through COVID and stuff that have gotten back into the buildings, which is great to see.
And I know it's varied with different districts, but have you found any kids that you sort of lost track of during the pandemic and you're not quite sure where they resurfaced?
We haven't really lost track. We're small enough. We do a pretty good job of keeping track of where our kids are and where they're enrolled at. We did, like I said, had quite a few over the course of the 2 years go to homeschooling, whether it was because they didn't want to do the distance learning or weren't in favor of the masking mandates that were coming from the state or whatever. But it's been nice to be able to get them back in. We have had some that have just moved and have left Douglas County, but for the most part, we know where they ended up landing and where we sent their papers to.
So talk about your background. You're new as a superintendent, but not new to Oakland.
This is my 29th year in the Oakland School District. I was fortunate enough to get that job shortly after college, subbed for about 6 months, and then got that job to start teaching U.S. history, economics, and government at the high school and coaching basketball. And I spent my first 15 years doing that. And then I transitioned to the principal job at the high school for the last 13 years and have done that and have really enjoyed it, administration much more than I ever thought I would. I was kind of a diehard teacher that said I'll never go into admin and never go to the dark side. But moving into the principal job was a good transition. I really enjoyed it. Kind of got me out of teaching history and econ and government. I was really close with the juniors and seniors, but it allowed me to open up and develop a good rapport with freshmen and sophomores as well. So it was really good.
So how did it come about to become superintendent?
Well, that's an interesting interesting occurrence. I had a few people approach me from the community and from the board about would I be interested when we've been very fortunate the last 5 years. Patty Lovemark was our previous superintendent, and she came in and did a great, wonderful job in our district. And she decided to retire for the second time and step away and head off into a good retirement life. And they approached me about taking it, and I said, you know, I'm not really interested. I like my gig at the high school. I like the I like what I'm doing there. And so we went through the process and through the end of it, while we had some really good candidates that came forward, none of them seemed a real fit for the for our community and our district. And so we got to a point where we had to either reopen the position or I got reapproached again by the board a little more serious this time about would I be interested in making that transition. And while I still had my doubts and reservations, I felt like it was you know, I had enough support in the community and the district that it was a step that I needed to take. And in doing so, it's been okay. It's a steep learning curve with a very, very different than being a high school principal, but have good support in place, both out of the district and around the county with some other great superintendents that are willing to answer my endless string of questions. So that's helpful.
So what was it that finally put you over to saying yes?
Well, I think in the end, I felt like, you know, it was late in the game enough when we'd finished our process and it hadn't worked out like we'd hoped that for us to open it up again wasn't going to be in the best interest of the district. So in the end, I've been at Oakland long enough. Sometimes you just take one for the team. If enough people believe that's what's best for the district, then I was willing to make that transition, even though it's not exactly what I wanted. I was willing to embrace it and make the best of it that I can.
So what are some of the things you've already learned about being superintendent?
Well, I learned that I spent a lot of time in meetings with a lot of other adults and a lot of other entities. And I think probably the most difficult thing for me, aside from taking that step away from the a step farther away from the kids and away from the staff at the high school, is that now I have to look at Oakland schools from an even more global perspective instead of just the inner workings of the high school and what's best for those 200 kids and the athletics and so forth. It's now about the whole district, and so encompassing Lincoln Middle School and the elementary school both in there, as well as now looking at maintenance and transportation and cafeteria and all of those other parts. So it's just such a much bigger global perspective looking at the whole district.
Now, so you've spent essentially your entire career in the district, right?
Yep.
What is it about Oakland that's kept you there?
You know, it's just such an amazing community. The community support for the school is so, it's just incredible and really hard to put into words. Originally, that wasn't my plan. I was, I'm a basketball coach and I came right in, and that was kind of my goal, was to climb the basketball coaching ladder and move to bigger schools. And, you know, I had some opportunities along the way and some interviews and offers. And in the end, just couldn't really find myself being able to leave Oakland. The community support, the things that we have set up and the way that we support our students and just the great educational atmosphere at Oakland kept me there.
So as you started the new year, any other new sort of key hiring positions in Oakland?
Well, I think there's a lot of positives to hiring within, but the negative to hiring within is you then have to have more positions to fill. So with myself moving up to superintendent, we had to fill the high school principal role, which is a pretty important role in the district. And we were lucky enough to hire Rachel Swearingen, who is our ag teacher, has been there for the last 8 or 9 years. And she stepped in there and has done a great job so far. And we also had another retirement with the great and wonderful Diana Sweden, who spent, I think, 31 years of her career in the Oakland School District. She taught for many of those years. And then the last, 11 or 12 years has been our middle school principal. She retired as well. So we were able to hire Connor Lagore, who is our SPED teacher at the middle school as well, and slide him in there. So those were two key hires for us to be able to keep moving forward on our admin team. And then luckily we were able to keep Ann Pichette, our elementary principal, in place. So she's kind of the backbone of our admin team now with the most experience. So those were the key hirings in setting up our admin team. But we've also, and then of course that opened two teaching positions that we had to hire. I think district-wide we brought on 8 new teachers. We've hired 6 new instructional assistants. We're able to grab a couple of maintenance and transportation people over the course of, or maintenance and custodial people over the summer, and got them started earlier. So we're almost fully staffed right now, which is not very many districts can say that, because hiring has been difficult.
We've been talking with all the superintendents about security concerns. That's a big deal around the country. But what about a little town like Oakland? Do you have concerns there, or look at things that maybe you want to change around?
Well, we definitely have concerns with security, just like everything. I think as soon as you start feeling like, oh, we're just Oakland or we're just our school and that would never happen in our town, I think is where you really open yourself up to those things happening. So I do think it's a bonus for us that we have very good a good rapport with most of our students, and being able to kind of have an idea of the struggles that they go through and have the supports in place to help them. But we, just like every district, can always look at increasing security measures. We're getting our buildings rekeyed currently, and are doing some other things to just try and be aware of it. Adding a few more cameras in place on campus, and some night lighting and so forth. Just little things that we can do within a tight budget, as everyone has, to make not only the students but the staff as well be as safe as possible on campus.
All right, we're going to take a break out in San Douglas County. More when we come back. Jeff Clark, Oakland School District, the interview, a podcast. After 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, News Radio, 93.9 FM, and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lawrence Larson coming up at 1 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And we continue on with the Back to School series. Tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking with the new superintendent out in Glide, Patrick Mayer, will be in with us. Jeff Clark here now from the Oakland School District, talking about the front end of the school year. Here we are in hot weather part of this week. And one of the other questions that comes up sometimes these days is, what about air conditioning and classroom, you know, conditions like that?
Well, we have luckily over the years started knocking those out, and so all of our classrooms have air conditioning, which helps. So they are temperature controlled. The place that you run into a lot of trouble with hot weather is sports. Trying to be able to get your football teams out there practicing, and your cross country teams, being able to get those guys get their reps in and do that with fighting the tough heat. It's not fun right now.
And obviously with classrooms and air conditioning, I mean, you go back, some of your buildings are fairly old. You know, back then that wasn't something that you did in schools, but now you have things like computers that you've got lots of money invested in, so you've got to keep track of them. But not only that, you know, just what happens to learning when people simply aren't comfortable.
There's no question. I appreciate you putting it politely that our buildings are not very new. They're all built in the 1950s, and they definitely bring their challenges in that old construction. But yeah, the computer right down from the high school office, my office last year, right down this little tiny hallway is our computer room, or our server room. And I mean, it was so hot in there. I mean, we're having the door open and trying to pump. The computers just put out so much heat, difficult. But I spent the 15 years that I was teaching, we did not have AC in, and my classroom down at the far end of the hallway was right in the dead of the afternoon sun, and it was awful hot in there. So you get three or four fans running and trying to get kids to really engulf the greatness and love for U.S. history was difficult to do seventh period on those hot days.
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge. What are some of the other things you mentioned? The building's ages. What are some of the other struggles you have when you have all the older buildings?
Well, right now we're doing a seismic upgrade on our middle school. We're in the planning phase. We've been awarded the seismic grant from the state, and we're in the planning stages, and we'll be breaking ground on fixing that over the course of next summer. We also are in the process of putting together seismic applications for our high school and our elementary school as well, because of none of them are in great shape, like any of the buildings in the 50s if an earthquake were to hit. So we're hoping to do the seismic upgrades and get those going. But windows, old pipes, there's just so many things with a building that's, you know, 75, 80 years old that you continually have to fight with and try and keep improved.
You talked about staffing a little bit ago, but what about the school bus aspect of things? And I don't know, how do you guys handle it? Do you handle that yourself, or you outsource?
We do have our own. We outsourced for a few years with Mid-Columbia, and that didn't work out very well for us. So we've brought them back in-house probably 5 or 6 years ago. We have a great crew of bus drivers at Oakland School District, but it is a thin group. We have enough to run our routes and have one extra driver for trips. And many times in the afternoons, we have multiple trips going out, whether the high school volleyball team's going someplace and either middle school cross country or middle school football going somewhere. So we have to manage that. And so we end up combining routes in the afternoon. We're staffed at that at bare bones. And so as long as everyone's there, we're in good shape. If we lose one to sickness or we have one backup that works another job in the district that does some driving for us. But generally speaking, it's hard to find. So while I'm on here, I'll put a plea to anybody out there that has a CDL and is, willing to work with kids. We'd love to have you come in and if you have some interest to drive bus for us, because we like every school is in desperate need of that.
What about summer programs? I know there were some offerings from the state financially that let a lot of districts do more during the summer. What did you guys do?
We opened up a 5-week summer school program. We opened that up K-8, and we had about 80 or so kids sign up for it. We probably only had mid-40s that showed up pretty regularly for it, but we were able to staff that with some teachers and do some good kind of backfill learning for some kids that had lost out during COVID. And then we also do a 3-week stretch at the high school where we have high school kids that are credit deficient be able to come in and work on some credit recovery stuff in some guided scenarios at the front end of the summer. So we were able to get some kids in and get them some opportunities, which was great.
Do you feel like there's a potential for the state to continue to fund some of these extended summer programs?
I think that there is. I think that it's a mixed bag. I think it's great that they will probably continue to do that. Now that we're starting to get back to normal, I think that kids and families don't necessarily see that learning loss as something they need to figure. They just kind of see it as a bump in the road. And so they're getting back to that. Summer's not for school. Summer's for family vacations and family time and so forth. So I could see it being a little more difficult to get kids involved in those summer programs, even if the state is choosing to fund them.
Now, if you look kind of down the road, do you have some ideas for future improvements, whether that's buildings or programs for the district?
Well, I think right now, like I said, we're doing our seismic rehab next summer for our Lincoln Middle School. We also have plans. We took a big chunk of our ESSER money that we got from the state in that third round of money and set aside some money to we really need to rebuild our district office. Our district office has moved from at least 2 or 3 different places into the elementary school, down to the old Washington School, back up the hill again, and now we're spread out in 3 or 4 different places around campus, and we really need to get that put back together. And so I think we're hoping to attack that next spring. We're also adding, we just added about just under 1,000 square feet addition to our metal shop at the high school. And then we're doing another, we have the plans back and are starting to put that out for bid to a, for a about just under 1,000 square feet addition to the wood shop as well, trying to expand our CTE programs and, get our kids as industry ready as possible when they leave the high school.
What kinds of things are is your board working on right now?
Well, our board is looking at, we've looked at school safety. We've also looked at and our expansion piece with our building projects. And right now, just trying to kind of manage the major shift in administration change with myself being in a new position and the two new principals and in the buildings. And our board right now at Oakland is super, super supportive. They are a great group, a lot of experience and knowledge on there. So they're supportive of all the things we're doing. And they are always looking for ways that they can support the directions we're going.
So as you go through this first year, is there any kind of theme from what you're trying to accomplish in year one as superintendent?
Well, I think my biggest theme is just to try and to learn on the job and not make any major mistakes. That's always hard to tell when you don't exactly know what tomorrow's going to bring. But trying to make sure that we stay on a good path. And again, just come back to that basic model of, hey, what are we doing to get from good to great? Because I think we've been great in the Oakland School District for many years. And I think like every district in the entire probably nation took some steps back during COVID. I think we went from great to good. And now we got to get back to great again. And takes a little extra, that extra amount of dedication from our staff and from our students and families in that support area. And so really trying to champion that, that back to basics movement of getting back to grade again.
All right, Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, and love your guys' work.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.